I just am coming on here to remind you that 90 Day Sprint is officially open for enrollment. 90 Day Sprint is our signature program where we dive into your finances, your team, your marketing, and you as the CEO so that your business can grow on a really healthy foundation. We are only opening this up one time this year, and so this is your chance to jump in before we kick off in March. This is the program that has moved the needle for so many practitioners. We've helped hundreds and hundreds of practitioners free up their time so that their time is not only spent working inside the clinic, but also on the clinic. We help them set up systems for true scale. We help them build up their team. And if you know that you want 2026 to be different inside of your practice, then this is for you. Check the link in our bio to sign up. Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Hello, you beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of the Meant to Win podcast. I'm so excited today. I have a special treat for you. And before we get into that, you know that we've transitioned the podcast now. So we've rebranded. We are so excited. We know that you are going to love what we have in store for you this year. And part of that is bringing on guests that really add something powerful to the conversation. And so when I think of Meant to Win, it is this innate knowing that you're meant for more. It is this feeling, it is this identity that you embrace on a daily basis. And so I figured, who better to bring on as our first guest than my friend, my colleague, Dr. Alejandro Ilias. And so thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here, Steph.
I'm so pumped today. I wanted to have you on for multiple reasons, and we'll get into that. But for the listeners that are just getting to know who you are, tell them a little bit about your story.
So I'm from Puerto Rico. I moved to the States in 2017 after a hurricane we had, Category 5. It destroyed basically the island. And I had two options, stay on the island and lose 1 year and not do anything because there was no school or anything, or move to the States. Thankfully, my brother called me. He flew me to the States. And I flew with three underwears, three pants, and three shirts, and my flip-flops on a backpack. And I got to him, and I remember he was driving in Elantra. He was broke as hell as well. And he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm here, like, I was like with the mentality of, we're going to party, dude. I'm with my brother. And he said, you're going to read this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and you have to find a job. I never read a book. I was 21. I had never read a book in my life. And I had never, like, talked English.
I was going to say, like, you didn't know English,
I didn't know the
right language.
So I applied for everything, and they called me for a hotel. Hey, you're going to, like, work as maintenance. You know what's that? I'm like, no. Then they explained me, and I'm like, okay, I'm Hispanic. That actually makes sense. That's why you're hiring me. Sweet. So I started working. I hated my life, and he was moving to Colorado. He was getting stationed there. So I had two options. Go back to Puerto Rico or do something with my life in the States. Go to chiropractic school. So I started applying to chiropractic school. I didn't have a bachelor, so it got complicated. And thankfully, I got accepted in Sherman. And I remember talking to one of my colleagues on the maintenance job. Dude, I got accepted in chiropractic school. And he was like, okay, go unclog that toilet. I'm like, what an asshole, dude. Like, what's going on? You're not even happy. So I was like ready to go. That's when I started chiropractic school, and I met my lovely wife the first day. She taught Spanish and English. So she taught me English all this time and still teaching me. And to this day, everything that we built has been together.
I love this part of your story because she really did help you get integrated into the country. You were like, no idea what to expect, no idea what you're getting in for. You know, going to school for 4 years inside a chiropractic school is hard enough, especially if you don't understand the terminology, don't know the language, don't know the body parts, things like that, you know? And I just think of, it's so easy for people to assume things about us. And like, before I got to know you, I didn't know your story. I didn't know that you didn't know English. Obviously, I knew you were Hispanic, but I didn't know that you had lived in Puerto Rico for most of your life and things like that. And so talk to me about those early years of you and Emily really deciding to build the practice.
Oof, I get emotional about it. It was hell.
Yeah.
Thinking about it. So I didn't have anything when I met her, obviously. And I came from a pretty bad place. I was in a pretty like bad place to the point that a month before I moved, one of my friends got murdered. He was burned on a car. So that tells you the type of people I was hanging out. I was not on a good path. And then I met Emily and I was like, dang, I need to change my life, you know? And, you know, I was thinking of just studying and passing school. And as I started talking with her more, it's like, there's something else here that we could build. It's not just about, you know, like passing school. We could build something. So I remember our day nights in school, we went to the mountains, we were camping, and instead of studying, we were talking about, like, what are we going to do when we graduate? And we started traveling around, going to clinics all around the country in every break. And that's when we decided, like, hey, we have something bigger. Let's build something that we want, you know? Mm-hmm. We don't want to build just one clinic. Let's build multiple clinics. Mm-hmm. But then how are we going to do it? And that's when we met our partner and we pitched him as Shark Tank. I have goosebumps talking about it because...
I want to get into that story, but I want to wait because I want to hang out here for a little bit longer. Did you believe in God before you met Emily?
Damn, you're getting deep here. That was a fake believer.
Tell me what that means.
So I used to go to church because my family was going to church. I was begging them not to go. That way I didn't have to be forced to go. So I was not a follower. I was not a follower.
Did she strengthen your faith?
She didn't force me to. She strengthened it just by being who she is.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It's very obvious with her. She just is a very good person. You feel that the minute you're around her. Mm-hmm. You know, you can just pick up on her good vibes and you just know that she has the purest of intentions. The reason I want to talk about this a little bit is because... I truthfully, and I haven't publicly said this before, I truthfully believe it is very difficult to build something massive without a connection to a higher power. Mm-hmm. And there's been seasons of my life where I don't have a name for the higher power. You know, there's been seasons where my faith has been tested. There's been seasons, you know, especially growing up, like I was going to Kiwanis. I was going to Bible study, Bible camp, things like that. We were going to church as a family every Sunday. And then, of course, you go through the college years. You are doing things that aren't very godlike, you know, and you kind of get disconnected from it a little bit. I truthfully believe you cannot build something massive in your life and have massive impact and steward your God-given gifts if you do not have that faith, if you do not have that connection. And for some people, you know, they're going to call it the universe, they're going to call it spirit, they're going to call it source, whatever. And for a long time, I did that too. And I still think they all coexist together and I don't have to explain it. I don't care to explain it. I'm not ever going to chat the Bible and try to rehearse it and be the best religious person out there because there's no competition. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a feeling in my body. God exists and he's blessed me beyond belief. Mm-hmm. Every person I talk to that has built something massive, I guess at least the people I look up to that have aligned values that are operating from an authentic, pure place, have belief in a higher power. And so I want to spend a little time here talking about this because I know that faith is a huge part of your brand and what you're building. And so I just want to figure out, like, where did that come from? How did that get to be part of the conversation?
Yeah. So again, going back to the story, I believe in God. I was not practicing mm-hmm. what the way I was supposed to live. I met Emily. Basically, how she was acting was like everything for me. And that's when I got a little connected. But while I was getting connected, I got disconnected as well. Mm-hmm. I remember we went to marriage therapy, in marriage classes, they call it, in order to get married.
Yeah.
And I went to this church and the guy said, oh, you can start this because you guys are living together. What the hell? Like, dude, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. I understand, like, you're not supposed to live together, blah, 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 but you're going to, like, deny me for that? My faith as well got tested. I got a little disappointed and she didn't say anything. She just kept acting how she acts. I'm like, dang, okay, like, how can she do it? I'm here angry and she's just acting how she is. And we just kept talking. She never forced me to go to church with her or anything. I was just following and I saw how she was acting. And one day we were sitting down and the story of Gideon came up. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Gideon, the big 300. And she went over that story with me and that like stayed connected with me. I'm like, wow, okay. So I kept digging more into it. And then I asked her like, Em, like the story of Gideon that you talked to me about, like, what about if we open 300 clinics? Why 300? Well, the story of Gideon, you know, like he was against all this army and the Lord blessed him with the 300 and they won. And she was like, 300 is a lot though. And I'm like, you don't have faith now, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, let's do it if you feel called for it. And that's when like kind of everything started. Mm-hmm. And again, that was way in the beginning. And now as like I kept getting closer to the Lord, and it was thanks to that story, but we could get there once we talk about the Shark Tank situation as well, because everything is connected.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, a big vision for massive impact, your vision is going to be tested. I know we were just chatting before we were recording some of the things that we're dealing with as we're scaling. You're like, well, that was in the last week. I'm like, bro, that is in the last 48 hours. Like, you can't play at this level and not get your butt handed to you on a regular basis and get up and smile through it, mm-hmm. you know, and just be like, another day in the office, you know. But I think that faith and that sense of purpose and that sense of just inner knowing, like I wasn't put here to just be good enough. I wasn't put on this earth with these skill sets and these talents and these opportunities in front of me to just scratch the surface on my potential. And so I know that we share that together. And so has there been a season in your life or something that you recall where that faith was tested and you made it through that period, but you actually came out stronger on the other side?
Simple example was opening our clinic. Another simple example was last week. I could talk about last week for years because we were moving clinics. You know this. We have a beautiful, nice new building. Was supposed to open 2 weeks from now. And December 23, the landlord told me we need to move by the 31st.
So he gave you a week notice.
Literally, and the building is not ready.
Your new space is not ready.
And I have to like move an extra unit. I have to move a lot of things that we didn't even know we had. Plus, create a system, a flow for the staff that, you know, dealing with staff is like dealing with a toddler almost when it comes to a system. So I was pretty stressed. I was like, Lord, why me, basically? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this to me when my wife is basically like...
She's like 9 months pregnant.
9 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. Why us? You know, everything's going so smooth. We just had the best month in our clinic. Everything's going so good. We're getting so many new patients. Why now? You know, so I just kept going. And I didn't think about that. Alejandro a year ago would get stuck in that place and
like
wouldn't get anything done. And my faith would be on the floor. I would be mad at the Lord or whatever universe you want to call it. So in here, we basically, in 48 hours, we moved the whole clinic, established a new flow for a clinic, and we opened 3 hours the day after with 102 visits that day in 3 hours.
With a whole new staff that you had to train basically overnight.
We had to train literally standing up, not even moving because there was things on the way so we couldn't actually like role play. It was just like standing here, this is going to happen, this is what we're going to do, this way. And I'm like, these people are going to forget everything. So we need to come here early and do it. No one wanted to get there like at 7 a.m. So we had, I prepare for the worst. And everything went as smooth as possible.
And don't you think, like during that season of just things maybe being more stressful than normal, it's actually what makes everything so much easier moving forward. Like now that you've been through that last week, you're like, okay, nothing can stop me. It gives you this sense of like empowerment, this sense of self-confidence of like, I can crush anything that comes my way.
Anything.
Yeah.
And that's what I was just telling you a couple hours ago. It's like, I feel I have so much time on my hands, but this is the busiest I've been in my life.
You just accepted a job, a role, a position with us at the Wealthy
Practitioner. And I'm telling you, like, give me more. Like, I want to keep helping, but this is supposed to be the busiest as I have 5 clinics. I have a toddler. I have another kid on the way, but I feel I have so much free time still.
And this is why I love this discussion around like capacity, because capacity is such bullshit. People are like, oh, I don't have time, you know? And I see it all the time with clients, and I love and can respect and understand where they're coming from because it's your reality. It's your perception. It's your perspective of the situation. You're like, I'm so busy. I'm seeing all these patients. Meanwhile, you're like, well, according to your schedule, you could see 10x what you're seeing. You know, I'm busy. I don't have enough support. And you and I were just chatting about like, wow, I've never been more under-supported with the amount of stuff that we have on. You were like, Kyle's doing all that on his own. I'm like, yes, he is. He doesn't have his support. We let go of an EA on Monday. You know, like there's all these moving pieces. And still, it's like, I know that I could handle more. But I think
if we don't challenge our capacity and what we believe is possible and what we can accomplish, and you know, the thought around time being finite and we don't have enough time, if we don't challenge those beliefs, we're always going to feel like we don't have enough. And meanwhile, you have two people sitting here, both running multi-million dollar empires, children, spouses, a big heart, a big mission, a big vision. And we're like, bro, give us five more businesses. Like, we're ready for it, you know? And that's why I feel like I know that that is an identity that can be primed, because you and I weren't like this 10 years ago. You know, I know that I was crying about new patients 10 years ago. I know that I was crying about putting myself out on Instagram 10 years ago. I know that there's no way you'd catch me on a podcast, let alone attached to video recording, even 5 years ago, because I would tremble. I would shake. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't record myself, you know? And even managing everything I do, having the team, having the payroll, having the responsibility of all the clients that I serve, there's no way the version of me 5 years ago could have handled that. And I think if there's anything that we could share with people, what would you share with them the most about what has actually increased your capacity over the last few years?
I would say just my brain. Because some people will say delegating more, but I don't even consider that I've been delegating more. It's just my brain and how I manage my time. You know, I don't waste my time. I hate wasting my time. So every opportunity I have, I'm going to like use it worth it. And that means like people, I know people complain about, ah, but I have a kid. I need to spend time with the kid. Well, wake up at 3 a.m. and work, you know? And once your kid is awake, you spend time with them. And that's what I've been doing, actually. I wake up earlier. I get my workout or my work done. And then I can spend time. And whenever he goes to school, I go back to work. So it's just about not even having a balance, because we've talked about this. Balance is a myth. That doesn't exist. It's just being smarter with your time.
When you say your brain has changed, is it the way that you think about time and capacity? Is it the way that you have challenged yourself to think differently, to think bigger? Like, what do you think about your brain has changed the most?
I would say manifestation, because you've talked about this a lot and you were the one that told me that. It's basically that. Like, if I'm going to do something, I already pictured that it's done.
It's going to work out
like,
for you.
Yeah, I used to stress about everything. And you can ask Emily, I used to stress about everything. And now it's like, I already know it's going to work out. It's just getting it done whenever I can, and it's going to get done.
It's such a good point. It's such a good point. Oh, I love this, because yes, I do not sweat the small stuff. I do not stress. Like, even with this, I mean, we are recording in my new content studio at 5 p.m. on a Wednesday. This was not completed last night by 9 p.m. And I was like, it's going to be good. It's all going to be great. We're going to show up. It's all going to work out for us, right? And I think, truthfully, high-performing people do believe that things are always working out for them, because we know that in order to have the vision, that we're going to be met with different things along the way. And some of it's going to be less enjoyable than others. But it's all getting us closer to where we want to be. And so I love that perspective of like actually trusting, that self-trust, that self-confidence, believing in a higher power, knowing that manifestation is real, that you can facilitate the results that you want in your life by focusing on the positive, focusing on the best case scenario, is what allows some of that stress and anxiety to go away. So let's dive a little bit deeper in here into manifestation, because you first saw me and you were like, she's too woo-woo. She's too woo-woo. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about manifestation and things like that. I'm like, this thing is demonic. Like, this thing is unreal. Like, what is this, like, woo-woo thing? I don't believe in it. Like, and I remember, like, every video I was watching from past calls, I'm like, this is BS. I'm calling BS in here.
And what shifted? Like, did you see proof? Or were you like, I'm just going to listen to it long enough? I started to brainwash you? Like, what actually happened?
I kept listening to it.
Yeah.
But then every time I listened to it, more people had like things to say about it, like good things. I'm like, oh, okay. And then like, it just started happening to us. And it started happening. And I'm like, okay. And one day I remember I was like, okay, this shit exists. Actually, it's a real thing.
Yeah. And a couple of stories I love for you that you've shared that I think would be super helpful to share again is, one, your ability to give more. Right? And that's kind of tapping into that law of reciprocity. That's tapping into the law of attraction and all of that. But you really shared, can you share about how stepping outside of some of those scarcity-driven thoughts and leaning more into abundance and giving back has transformed things for you?
Absolutely. And this was childhood traumas, I think, is what like got me to that point. Now thinking, it just came to my mind. My dad is an accountant, and he was always, he was never like, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to buy this or that. But he, everything was, you know, based on money. Yeah. Everything. Every decision that he made was based on money. And he was just saying, like, you as a provider of the family need to take care of your family with money. Mm-hmm. So that was always on my mind. Like, wait, I cannot waste money. I need to have money on the bank account because, you know, I cannot provide for Emily, for Luca. So that was my fear every time. And then I met you and I just saw how you were giving and giving. And Emily's like that. Emily's a giver. But she comes from a family that likes giving, but they don't have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my fear. I'm like, wait, I've been around people that give, but they don't have for themselves. Why are they giving?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then they're calling themselves that they're broke and they don't have money to pay the bills. And then on the other side, I have my dad here. He was not a giver, but he has his money here for his family. But everything is based on pennies, you mm-hmm. know? So I started seeing you just giving things to people. Emily's that same way, giving things to people. I'm like, Em, what are you doing? Like you cannot keep doing that. And she's like, hey, you've listened to Steph. You just said, let's keep doing it. And we, like, I saw the return every time. Like, this is insane. So I started giving to people. And I started giving, like, nice things to people.
Give us some examples.
And it just felt good. Like, I remember, like, this guy came and built me my home gym. And I gave him, he asked for a bottle of whiskey that was super cheap. And I bought him, like, the top shelf. I didn't even know the brand. And he was like, but you don't have to do this. Just seeing him happy.
Yeah.
And then the Monday, I came to the office and my two associates, they've been working their ass off, especially with the move. Like in 48 hours, they probably slept like 10 hours
yeah.
helping us with the move. So they're super fans of Kill Tony. And I literally bought them floor stage tickets for Kill Tony.
I love that.
And just the reactions they have. Like when I was buying it, I was like, oh, this
like,
cool.
whatever.
You know,
yeah.
this cool. Seeing the reaction was like priceless. And
yeah.
I did it in front of the staff and everyone was like, this is the best shit ever. And like the guy was like, kept coming to me. He's like super dry. And he kept asking me like, what are you doing this? Are you sure? Like, how much do we owe you? And I was like, wow, this is unreal. Just like getting people things is unreal.
It's one of my favorite reasons to build wealth because I think you don't actually know what wealth feels like until you can give it all away, mm-hmm. until you can just bless others with the blessings that you've been given. And I love, you know, just surprising and delighting people, family, friends, strangers, whatever, a huge tip at a coffee shop, huge tip at a restaurant, whatever it is. And I think an important key here is to give it when you don't feel like you have it. So even though you were already successful, though, it was ingrained in you that you were going to lose it all if you started mm-hmm. to give it. So it was still, even though you were doing well, you had this scarcity belief that like, if I give it away, it's all going to go away. Or if I give it away, I'm not going to have enough.
Right.
And facing that belief head on and working through it and actually giving so much when you feel that restriction is actually where the transformation happens. I believe that wholeheartedly. And, you know, I talk a lot about like picking money up off the floor and like, thank you, universe. Thank you, God. More blessings. Thank you. Like being so grateful for every little thing gives you more things to be grateful for. I feel like the same way about giving. Giving with out expectation to receive anything in return. It's like, I'm just giving this to you because I genuinely love you and care about you. You know, one of the most recent gifts that I've given is my sister recently had her third baby and I gifted her a home birth with a midwife.
Wow.
Because she really wanted a home birth. She didn't have the funds for it. She's self-employed. She's a massage therapist. And she was like, we just don't have the money for it. Insurance isn't going to cover a home birth, you know, mm-hmm. of course. And I was like, listen, I'm going to Venmo you the amount for the midwife.
Wow.
And she was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And she had a beautiful home birth. And it was so cool to see her. She was so grateful for it, of course. But like, that gift built confidence inside of her. She was like, I never felt more powerful than when I was at home giving birth. My other babies, my husband was there. Like, it was amazing, you know? And even afterward, which is so crazy because we talk about childhood trauma. We talk about just the inner dynamics of family and how complicated it could be sometimes. Like, my mom was so moved by that that she called me after and was like, honey, that is one of the best gifts you could have gave your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so beautiful to watch. And like, my mom got to be a part of that. Like, I think it's like, you can't put a price on that. You know, my mom was there for the birth. And one of the instances that I was going to say that I noticed first about you is when we were at the event Profit and Purpose in May, and you had seen me handing out money at certain things. You mm-hmm. had seen me doing that. And you came and gave one of the new people an envelope telling them good luck, money out of thin air, had some cash inside of there and was like, don't open this till you get on the plane, mm-hmm. you know? And I think of those kind gestures to us, again, they don't seem like much because we know that we have more than enough. We're happy to share. But to somebody who is really hoping for a sign, looking for a sign, just praying truthfully for a sign that like things are going to be okay, things are going to get better, we can be that blessing in somebody else's life. And I think that's something that we just need to not take for granted and really focus on. And I also want to just talk about one of the first events you came to, you brought your nanny with you.
Yes.
And you were like, I had never even considered that I could, one, bless somebody else like this. Like, this is a trip. This mm-hmm. is a getaway for her. And also, like, me and my wife are happier because our child's here with us and we don't have to sacrifice. Like, we want to get dialed in. We want to explode the clinics this year. We want to grow. We want to tap into, you know, more of that leadership. But, like, we don't necessarily want to leave our kid.
Right.
And so how was that a shift for you internally?
To this point, we talk about it because 2 years ago, we wouldn't have done that. It mm-hmm. wouldn't even cross our brain. It was probably Emily was going to stay behind and I go to the event. Kind of mm-hmm. selfish, right? Because yeah. at the end of the day, Emily didn't want to leave our son behind with someone. So she was going to have to sacrifice and just stay there. So mm-hmm. just seeing you do those things and then you talk about it, we did it. And to this point, our nanny's thanking us for that because mm-hmm. that's one of the best hotels that she stayed in. Like for us, that's a normal hotel. Like for her, was one of the prettiest hotels mm-hmm. that she's ever been part of. And now we're thinking of bringing her to Europe. We told her if she was available and she's already like talking about it. But it's a game changer because at the end of the day, it's like we're spending time as a family. Mm-hmm. If we want to go on a date night, we know he's going to be safe and we're giving her a good life as well. Mm-hmm. If we're with him, she could go and explore the area. And then whenever we need her, she can come back and take care of him. It's yeah. priceless.
Yeah. And I think when we talk about like true leadership and, you know, we have the responsibility of a lot more than most people will, having all these team members, having all these businesses. But there's also such a beautiful aspect of being a leader in this way when you get to give to those people around you. And I love the story about your associates and being able to give that to them. I love how you just have started giving more. What is something as you've transitioned into this, you know, super dialed in CEO, what is something that you're still brushed up against that you're like, I need to work on this part of myself to get to the next level?
I just need to remove myself more.
From which aspects?
From being hands-on from every clinic. I think if I can give more things, we could keep growing more. Mm-hmm. And that's what is holding us right now of having acquiring 1 to 2 clinics a year. Because if we want to do what we want to do, 300 clinics, we cannot be 1 or 2 a year.
It's going to take a long time.
Correct. So we just hired a COO, but I haven't given all my things away.
Mm-hmm. You're still holding tight.
Because of the what if. Mm-hmm. What if. So that's something on me. And I know if I give it, everything is going to grow.
Well, and you just proved to yourself within like the last month, you took 3 weeks off and you made more money and you had a record month. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we have to break our neurology and our association. The more I work, the more money I make, the more I'm involved, the better the team does. It's like, well, actually, when I'm happy, healthy, aligned, and able to be the visionary, which only I can do, everybody flourishes. Everybody does better. The clinics as a whole do better.
It's a control aspect. I need to remove myself from overall the organization. Mm-hmm. That CEO, I want to give it away, actually, and just work from behind the scenes, and I know everything is going to grow. Mm-hmm. It's going to multiply.
What's one thing that you think you could give away tomorrow?
The meetings.
Yeah.
We lower it to just once a week, but I could give the meetings. Mm-hmm. And taking all my shift away from adjusting hours. I only have 2 shifts. I could give that away, and everything is going to grow. I'm going to have, how you mentioned, I'm going to have more walks. That's going to bring more creative. Mm-hmm. And I was recommended that as well, actually. My business partner went to Tony Robbins, and that's why like he got recommended. We need to remove ourselves and we're going to grow.
What do you think, as we wrap up here, when you think about what it means to like win, because I know that you love winning, I know you love excelling. Do you think some people are just gifted abilities to win, or do you think it's something that can be developed? Do you think it's like an identity that can be strengthened and exercised?
I think it could be developed. I don't think you're born like that. I think it could be developed. And I know sports helped me a lot in that aspect. Uh-huh. And It's like, I know, that, I don't know if this translates, but there's a phrase in Spanish that is, you need to bring two bags to every game, one to win and one to lose. I never had that. I always brought two bags, and it was one to win and one to celebrate. Because mm-hmm. losing was not an option ever for me. Mm-hmm. And I had an older brother. I have an older brother. So for me, losing wasn't an option. And I had to do whatever it takes to win in every aspect. And I was always underrated at my house for intelligence, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You know, I was not the smartest. So I was always being, was making fun of. So I had to like have an identity on something. Mm-hmm. And that became
like just, combat that, like over win.
Yeah. So like, how can I hide this that I'm a loser at my house? How can mm-hmm. I hide that? So I like started playing basketball, you know, and mm-hmm. now everyone knows me as the basketball player. Mm-hmm. And that way they could forget that I'm not the smartest. Mm-hmm. And that created something on me that I never want to lose, you mm-hmm. know? And that was one of the options. Like when I moved to the States, it's like, I'm not going back because that's losing for me. Mm-hmm. I already like basically jumped the water, how we say, I cannot go back. It's not an option for me. Mm-hmm. No turning back, basically.
Where do you think that mentality of like losing is not an option, I'm going to win no matter what. Do you think if it has, and if so, where has that been a detriment to your success?
I'm giving things away, basically. Like that example that we were talking, if I give more things away, it's going to help me more.
Mm-hmm. But like this idea that you're going to win no matter what, like has it potentially not allowed you to quit sooner on some things that you were pursuing? Or do you think it's always served the highest good for you?
It has helped me not quit sooner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%, including like knocking doors when it was 110 degrees. Like, I didn't want to do that, but I was thinking, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose. And like, I'm not going to have a successful clinic. And that's the reality. Because we opened the first week with 60 new patients just mm-hmm. for door knocking. I could have decided not to do it and be a freaking loser and stay at the house.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I think of like, okay, this identity of I'm meant to win, I'm meant for big things, I think it's like actually made me delusional. There are definitely things that have happened in my life where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to accomplish this and this. And I just throw shit out there. And then all of a sudden it happens because of this identity of knowing that I'm going to win, that it's always going to work out and that sort of thing. I do think that it's given me some of that grit to like not stop sooner. And maybe sometimes I should stop. I think with age and wisdom, there comes things where you're like, okay, let's stop pursuing that. That's a dead end. God's been trying to tell you that's a dead end for months and you're not listening, but you keep doing it because you don't want to lose and you want to win. And so I think that there's I think the identity at the core is so important and you have to know that. But as I've gotten older too, it's like practicing that discernment and practicing like, I'm going to win no matter what, but pursuing things and being super persistent doesn't always mean winning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it means like, hey, this thing over here actually isn't aligned and I need to pivot. And so really strengthening that over the last couple of years, I feel like has really helped me. And so I think when we talk about this identity, there's so much good that comes from it as long as that identity continues to grow with us, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. And going back to that, actually, there was one time that I bought Airbnbs in a creative way. Because I was thinking it was time to scale, quote unquote. And I was going to buy Airbnbs because that is passive income.
That's what everybody tells you.
Correct. Yeah, that's what they say. And that situation cost me 120 grand because I didn't sell it quicker. Emily was like, after 2 weeks, she was like, dude, you need to get rid of that now. I'm like, nah, hold on it. You'll see. 6 months later, I was like, okay, we need to get rid of this. And it cost us 120, basically. Yeah.
Everybody I know that has accomplished anything has a crazy story like that where it's not even crazy. It's just the cost of playing the game at this level.
At least I learned, you know, it was a failure, but it was a feedback. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, it was a total feedback. I love that. Well, I just can't thank you enough for joining me today. I think that there is a lot to watch from both of us this year. I know we're going to be up to some really fun things. And so I will drop your contact information in the show notes so that people can connect with you. And thank you for being here. And thank you for being a part of not only Meant to Win, but the whole Wealthy Practitioner crew. I know that 2026 is going to be
huge. Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I'm excited for this year.
Awesome.
If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.